Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
This morning during a Bible study, we were in the book of Colossians. I really love that book because the focus of the book of Colossians is all about the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. I'm an engineer by trade. I like formulas. I like math. Anybody out here like math? Here's an easy formula for you. Jesus plus what is necessary? Jesus plus what? Nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Nothing else will do. Nothing else is necessary. Just the love of Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Sometimes I get a word. Have you ever gotten a word before? You just hear this word from inside. Well, this morning and this week, I've heard like a whole sentence, but it's from different places. Choose this day who you will serve. You cannot serve two masters. You shall have no other idols before me. Hear, O Israel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'm not a professional speaker, and my legs are shaking. Next week, I give a ministry moment, so please bear with me. I just want to thank God that we are all able to freely come and worship. There's many, many places that they have to hide in secrecy and worship, and we live here where we're free to do that, and we have the freedom to get up and say what we feel. And many places can't do that. And all God is really putting on my heart is to plant a seed. He'll take care of the watering. I mean, Pastor keeps telling us to step out. And I am shaking. It's hard up here. Everybody looking back at you. Look this way. I'll be. No. But seriously, God, all He wants us to do is just plant the seed. And He'll take care of the rest. And I just want to thank God for my pastor and for my church family here. It's just a blessing to me.
The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah, come on.
No one comes to the Father except through me. Is there any other way?
No. Come on, man.
Is there any other truth? Is there any other life but through Him? Some of you have lost your way recently. Some of you have been given freedom recently. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Step forward in front of Him. Step into Him. Let Him dwell in you.
Yeah, come on.
Let Him speak words through your mouth. Let Him release the chains of bondage. Let Him be an all-consuming fire. This is the way. Walk in it.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. I just want to share with you something I wrote a couple weeks ago, and it has to do with the life-giving rain. And it's such a blessing to see that rain. It just brought joy to me, and I felt like dancing. So this is what I wrote. A gentle breeze is blowing, life-giving rain, rain falling in the desert, small puddles pooling forth, forming trickles and streams, new life. More water emerges and a lush landscape of vegetation grows, exotic flowers filling the atmosphere with intoxicating fragrance.
Yes.
Start dancing, sing praises.
Yes.
Water is flowing in the desert. In this long parched place,
yes,
we are the water. We are coming together, small puddles pooling forth, forming trickles and streams. New life in the desert. God is good. Mm-hmm. Praise Him and begin the dance.
Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, if you love Jesus, let's just give him a clap offering this morning. Tell him you love him. Hallelujah. How many of you know Jesus is the focus of our life? How many say amen to that? Glory to God. Without Jesus, we would be nothing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, thank you for coming this morning. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it have been nicer just to stay home under the covers while it was raining? Amen? That's what I felt like doing this morning. The Lord says, no, you got something you got to do. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, worship team. Yeah, and you can hang in here and play some music for me while you, if you want. It's not. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning, the message is merciful this morning. How many of you know it's important that we're merciful? How many say amen to that? Are you merciful? How merciful are you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there's a, last week we did truthfulness, not truthfulness, but truthfulness. And there's something that God has been speaking in my heart. How many know that God is trying to get his mindset into you? How many know that? How many know he's trying to get, I mean, and it's not, a lot of times people, you know, there's somebody that says, hey, you're so heavenly minded, you're not any earthly good. How many have ever heard that before? Yeah. And sometimes, you know, but you know what? I think there's an enemy out there that created that statement because this earth is only good when the body of Christ or the men and women of God stand for who they are. And then, because that's what God said, right? If my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn away from their iniquities. He says, what does he say? I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So yeah, to be heavenly minded on this planet is where God wants us to be. And God is trying to get his mindset into the body of Christ. Let me say amen to that. In this scripture, I mean, while we were praying this morning, and I know what God has given me, you know, hey, merciful, you know, full of mercy, truthful, being full of truth. But here's what God's word says right here, and this is Ephesians chapter 3. It says, starting at verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. How many want to know the love of Christ? How many know that is a goal, to know the love of Christ? He says that you might know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that cool? This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesians church. He goes, I want you full of the fullness of God. I say, yeah, come on, man. I can use that. Amen? That's a pretty weak amen if I ever heard one, but that's okay. That's all right. Praise God. But that's not even that's just what God was speaking to my heart this morning. He says, I am desiring that my people begin to be who they are in the earth. Is that okay? Is it okay? Is it important to you to be what God has created you to be? Is it important to you? Or is everything else important to you and then God is off to the side? I mean, this is a good question. How many say, and this is a good question. Are you concerned about what God wants, or are you concerned about what you want? It's something we got to realize that God is saying, hey, look, I saved you for a purpose. I saved you for a reason. And it's a beautiful reason. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to title this mercifulness. Look at your neighbor and say, you need mercifulness. Be merciful. Tell them, be merciful. Come on, be merciful. Be nice. Is that right? Be nice. Just be nice. Hallelujah. If you will, turn to your Bibles to John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Glory to God. Very familiar story. And I just love looking at Jesus. Amen, Pastor. That's good. That's good work. Amen, Pastor. I just love looking at Jesus. I mean, of all the Bible stories and those, I mean, I just love looking at Jesus. I could preach on Goliath and David a lot. I can do that stuff. And they're great. But Jesus is my focus and who he is and how he operates and what he does. I mean, come on. It really is revealing to look at Jesus in a way that you say, God, show me how you do these things. How many of you want to know how God does things? How many, you know, and it's important. I really do. And so like Jesus is to me, there's no, I mean, hey, well, that's it. The gospel. It's about Jesus. Amen. The word of God. Yep. That's it. We're done. We're going to head on out there, man. Go home. You're done. Been preached at. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. How many say, you guys have heard that before, right? Seen bumper stickers on it, right? Jesus is the answer. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I love looking at him and how he operates and how he says things and does things. Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't have long prayer lines. Is that right? How many know that? It wasn't like we do it today. We stand up and we wait for everybody to come by for the preacher to pray for you or somebody to come and pray for you. Jesus was pretty quick. He says, man, you know, have mercy on me. Your faith has healed you. Go. That was it. Didn't take much. Is that right? Quick and easy. Come on. Hallelujah. According to your faith, be it unto you. Bam. They get healed. Amen. Hallelujah. What makes us think we got to make all these prayer things? Oh, anyway, that's why I tell you folks, I love looking at Jesus. Jesus has a different way of doing things. How many say amen to that? He thinks different. His ways are different than what we do it. And why we've been taught that way, I don't know. Maybe it's just this attempt to get things moving, if anything. I don't know. I really don't know. But if we just look at Christ, look at Jesus, listen to the word of God, it says, enter into my rest. Just rest in him. Let him bring the things to you. You'll be so much more comfortable. Because we try to make a good show. How many say amen? We try to make a good show. We want to show people we're Christians, but we tried in all these ways and all these different avenues. I mean, and sometimes God would say, well, just listen to me and I'll help you and I'll show you what to do. Can I tell you, you can relax being a Christian? If God hasn't spoken to you right now on what you need to be doing, ask him what you need to be doing and then just relax. Say, Lord, I really want to know what you want for me. And relax and let him take you to it. There is nothing that you do that's going to make him love you more. Do you know that? He loves you already. He cared for you. He loves you. He loves you enough to send his son to die for you. So what makes you think that you have to do something to win his love? It's not a good way of thinking. Amen? Is that right? Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong. We need to do things around here. But I would tell you, I mean, I would say to you, hey, talk to the Lord. See what he wants you to do. Is that okay? I'm not one of those kind of pastors, and everybody knows that. Maybe I've had a few people who say, well, you need to be one of those guys that will push you and push you and push you, make you, hey, man, kid, you need to come over here and you need to clean these toilets. You look like you got hands to clean toilets. I need you to come on in. And notice that I'm not looking at anybody because I don't want anybody to feel like, hey, he's talking to me. I'm going to tell you, listen, ask him what you want. I'll tell you, sometimes you just sense it. Sometimes you just know that God is saying for you to do something. Just go by that. Say, hey, I really feel like God is asking me to do this. You will be so much more fulfilled if you just do what he's asking you to do and not what you think you need to be doing. Yeah, praise God. That's why we got to look at Jesus. We got to look at him and say, God, what's he doing? So in John chapter 8, starting at verse 1, I want to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I'm asking you, Father God, that you would touch our hearts this morning. Thank you for the rain, as Pastor John spoke this morning. Father, thank you for the rain. Lord, let the refreshing that's in the rain, Lord, be upon our souls and our spirits and our minds. Let there be a refreshing today, Lord. This rainy day, this beautiful rainy day. Father, let this refreshing be upon us, Lord, that we might hear from you. Wash away the things that are not of you, and Lord, bring in the things that you would be desiring to say to us in our heart. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm in Acts. Hold on. I'm sorry. John chapter 8, start at verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. How would you like to have been that lady? Come on, man. Talk about heartless, amen? There's people all around Jesus. He's teaching. And they bring in this lady and they tell everybody what she got through doing, what they caught her doing, and everybody knows about it. I said, come on, man. Who would do that? Religious folks. Amen? Religious folks. He said this. They said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Don't you love Jesus? Can I tell you, if there's anybody that is in the moment, Jesus is in the moment. Amen? He's always in the moment. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to have all the information about what's going on in the world today, and they got to watch the news and all this other stuff. You want to be in the moment to see what God is saying. That's where the moment is happening, is where Jesus is. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. Can I tell you something? You can get more out of your little 15 minutes in your prayer closet in the morning than you can watching all the news, knowing all the information about everything that people might ask you about. It's so much better with Jesus because he's always in the moment. Can I tell you, he knows what's going on. You can go in there and say, oh my God, God. Oh my God. Biden fell down the steps on the plane again. Come on, man. Does he know all these things? He absolutely does. Can I tell you that God loves Joe Biden? Come on. Can I tell you that God probably is in his camp? Some of you say, what? Are you kidding me? Can I tell you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, Joe Biden himself, Nancy Pelosi. I see you guys going, woo. Come on. Hallelujah. God loves them. He loves them. I remember being in a service one day at a church, and they were talking. It was just about the time when the graduates would be going into college. It was getting close to September or something. I can't remember exactly when it was, but they showed a picture of this one professor in a college somewhere in the United States. They said he himself has done more damage to the Christian faith than any of the other, and he taunts it. He says, man, that's who I am. I will see these young people that have been brainwashed by their churches, and I'll knock it all down. And he was all, you know, and they showed his picture. And the reaction of the people in the church were, oh, man, I'd love to get him in an alley somewhere. Yeah. And, you know, and can I tell you, folks, no matter what, that's not right. Do you know that? As brothers and sisters, as Christians, that's just not right. What would they have done to Paul? Amen? Paul the apostle, the one that was going and arresting all the Christians and having them hauled off and getting them killed. What would they have done to Paul? I bet they, at that time, and they did. You'll see that in scriptures that they kind of, what? Paul? Well, Saul of Tarsus? Are you kidding? They didn't want to hear what he had to say. But hey, I'll tell you what. God had a plan with that man. Is that right? God can use any vessel. How many say amen? Amen. He can use anybody for his kingdom and for his glory. Can I tell you, he used Pharaoh for his glory? He showed the earth, hey, there's a God, amen? And he does watch over his people. 10 plagues and they moved out, brought him out of Egypt. So God can use anybody. He can change the heart of anybody. Can I tell you, there's no heart too hard that can't be changed? Can I tell you that? It's a fact. Because the love of God, who can resist the love of God? Who? Who can resist the love of God? So he set this lady in the midst, and he says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. Impossible for any of those guys to throw a rock. Amen? Immediately, Jesus has just put a shield around this lady. Immediately. I'm going to go to Psalms right now. I want to hold your place in this because we're going to come right back to it. But I just want you to look at Psalms 86:15. This is, but thou, O Lord, are full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. Immediately, Jesus put a shield around this lady in one statement. You that is without sin, you throw the first rock. And he stoops back down, right? And he starts writing on the ground. Let's read that. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, the word of God says right here, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left standing alone and the woman standing in the midst. Hallelujah. I love it. Jesus throws this thing out there and says, all right, you without sin, go ahead and throw the first rock. And every one of those guys, these were religious people. They began to think, oh boy. Oh boy. Starting from the oldest. Why do you think the oldest ones went out first? Yeah, come on, man. Yeah. Lived a longer life, done a few things, and said, oh boy, I could hear it. Clunk, I'm out of here, man. Clunk, I'm out of here. And then to the youngest ones, the haughty ones, yeah, man, let's stone her, man. And they're watching all these old guys leave. And they go, whoa, 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 okay. You see, Jesus threw something out there that was so incredible. How many say amen to that? It was incredible what he threw out there for them. Okay. He knew that their conscience would convict them. He knew. Can I tell you, at that time, all they had was an animal sacrifice to cover what they'd been doing. That's all they had. They didn't have what we have today, amen? We've got the blood of Jesus. And that blood of Jesus will wash your conscience of all things if you let it. Sometimes What we do is we rehearse what we've done. We rehearse what we've done. We rehearse what we've done. Can I tell you, when you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, there is a testimony in your heart. And what you did before can be part of your testimony. But, you know, to be sorrowful over those things is just insane for you because of what Christ has done for you. He's washed. He'll wash your conscience if you'll let him. If you'll let him. He says, let me clean you. Let me give you a washing by the water of the word. Let me rain upon you like this morning. Man, we had a lot of rain at my house this morning. It poured. I was even saying, man, we might not be able to go to church. But it was pouring. It was pouring. Can I tell you, it was deluge. It was a culebra. We call it culebra. That's what he's not right, Nancy? We used to call him culebra. And in Bisbee, when it rained like that, you better watch out because that it all ran into the gulch. And the gulch would wash cars down into the drains, man. Cars would leave where they were parked on their own. They'd float away. it was pretty cool. How did I get to that? God wants to wash everything out of you. He's trying to cleanse you up because he wants to put something in. He wants to put a fullness in you that you've never had before. You haven't walked here yet. You haven't walked in this fullness of what the Lord be saying. There's a fullness I have for you. You haven't walked here yet. Let me show you how to get to that fullness. And when that fullness begins to click in, can I tell you, watch out, world. Katie, bar the door. Because of the body of Christ is now in action. How many say amen to that? It's different than what it's ever been before. It really is a freedom that God is placing in the earth on his body for today. Because God is going after the lost. How many of you can't ever forget that God is going after the lost. He's here to save the lost. How many say amen? You're here to save the lost. Whoo, hallelujah. Glory to God. And when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman and said to her, woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go, and I like what he tells her, sin no more. Amen? Sin no more. It's time that the body of Christ, that the church, God's people, realize that you were not created to sin. Is that okay? You were not, God didn't create man to sin. If he would have, he would be an unjust God. Is that right? Because he said sin, the wages of sin is death, and death can take you where Lazarus, he was in paradise, but he could see hell. That sin will get you into hell. We need to realize, we really do, we really need to realize that we weren't created to sin. You were created to walk in righteousness. That is the mindset of God, for you to walk in rightness, in righteousness, being right, being a light, being other, what the world can't even comprehend, being that. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was someone that the world could not comprehend. Everyone around him, even the Pharisees, it says there that they were trying to trap him in his words by using the law against him. Dude, he gave them the law. He's the one that gave them the law. I wish you would have said that to him. Don't you? Like I said, I wouldn't have made it a very, very good Jesus. Because I would have, man, if I would have burned them up. I would have done all sorts of stuff to those guys, man. Hallelujah. But you see, this is the thing. This is what we're talking about. Jesus was very merciful. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad he's merciful? Aren't you glad, you personally? Aren't you glad, Steve's waving his hand. Aren't you glad that he's merciful? That God, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, I do. Yeah, he does. Amen? When you go to, do you remember? I remember when I got saved. Jimmy Swaggart used to come on a lot when I got saved. That's dating back then. You guys know. I loved Jimmy Swaggart music. I loved listening to all them. John Starnes, Janet Pascoe. I listened to every Friday night or Saturday, whatever night it was on. But every night when I first got saved, I was in front of that TV bawling my eyes out. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just the way it was. That just happened. That man, by the end of that program, I was in front of my TV on my face crying. God, you got to touch. One evening, the Lord said to me, "You're clean. I washed you. Stand up." You remember when God told, was it Joshua? He said, "Stand up." And he told Moses, "Stand up. They've sinned." But he told me, he said, "Hey, you're done. You're clean. It's okay." See, what I was doing was rehearsing in my conscience all those things that I had done. And it just kept bringing me to a point where I need God. I need God. Well, I'll tell you what. He finally says, "No, you're good. Henry, you're good." How many say amen? "Wait, come on, Henry, you're okay." "Okay, all right, get up." You ever had one of your kids, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I remember one day I probably shouldn't, because my son listens to my messages every Sunday. Well, Monday or Tuesday, whenever they come out. But he goes, "Dad, why you tell him stuff like that?" But anyway, when he was a little boy, he liked the G.I. Joes. You guys remember G.I. Joes? Does anybody remember G.I. Joes? But and my mom used to always play these tapes for him, and I can't remember who they were, but it was always talked about sin will keep you from God. It always talked about that in these tapes. And anyway, one day I was sitting on the couch. I don't remember what I was doing, but my son's playing with his G.I. Joes. And then he starts going, "You S.O.B.? Yeah. Son of Belial? How's that?" But he was saying it another way. He goes, "You son of you son of..." You know, and they're fighting, and they're using all these cuss words. And he's using the cuss. I go, "John, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing, mijo?" He goes, "Oh, they're fighting." I said, "Hey, you can't be using those words. Don't use those words, okay? Just say, 'Hey, I don't like you. I want to beat up you on here.' But don't use those words." "Which ones, you know?" I said, "Those words." He says, "Why not, Dad?" "Because..." And I made the mistake and said, "Because those will keep..." That's a sin. It'll keep you from God's presence. And I couldn't believe his eyes shot out tears, because he'd been listening to all these tapes my mom had been giving him. And I didn't know what to do. I go, "Whoa, wait a minute. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it." "It's okay." "I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry." "No, it's okay. It's all right. You're good. You're good, mijo. Let's just pray." We prayed with him, and then that was it. But it's something that when your heart convicts you, respond to it. But once you respond, let the word of God wash you and cleanse you. Amen? Hallelujah. Because it's important, because God doesn't want you in that spot all the time. He wants you to have an ability to hear him, to walk with him, to talk with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he said, so he tells this lady, "Go and sin no more." A lot of the churches say, "Well, you know, we're just sinners." We're not just sinners. We are the redeemed. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are not created to sin. We're created to walk in righteousness. If you're walking, if you're doing things that are contrary to God, I would tell you that you need to stop, because he has forgiven you. And there gets to be a point. The Bible talks about a point where you're seared. Your heart becomes seared because you continue to do what God doesn't want you to be doing. And once you continue to do that and continue to do that, it's almost like you're saying, "Well, God, there's no sacrifice. It's okay. I can do this. I can do this." And God is saying, "No, you can't." And he's watching over it. And he will bring you to a point where you are going to have to respond to what the word of God is saying to you about doing what you're doing. Is that okay? Because he's not trying to hurt you. Can I tell you, God's not trying to hurt anybody. He's trying to build you and strengthen you. He's trying to bring you into the knowledge of who he is. He's trying to bring the fullness of Christ into you. Hallelujah. We make little choices to do certain things, and we think it's okay with God, and we assume it's okay, but it's not. How do you say okay? So I would just say this really very, as a pastor to you, just say, "Hey, just quit doing what you're doing that you know isn't right. Don't do it. Don't do it anymore. Stop." Look at your neighbor and say, "Stop." Say, "No, I'm serious. Stop." Praise God. Because I will tell you that God is trying. He is desiring to show his glory in the earth. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Watch this. These Pharisees are, how many know that the Pharisees are like, they're buzzing around Jesus. They're always constantly looking at him. How many had these nagging flies around your house? I mean, you're outside, your fly swatter is inside, and this fly is just, man, he's just being as bold as he can. Amen? You ever had a bold fly? Fly right in your face, hit you in the mouth and everything? Come on, man. These are like, and I said, I wonder if Jesus, these guys, man, they're constantly bothering him. Came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Always got a question, don't you? But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Is that a good answer? Yeah, hey, these guys need me. They have a need. So why not? Can you feed them? Can you be nice to them? Come on. I just want to say this. Jesus was merciful. That's who he is. God is merciful. He's loving. He's got kindness. And he says, but go ye and learn what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He tells these Pharisees, he tells these Jews, he tells them, hey, go and learn what it means where I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus was actually quoting a verse in Hosea. Let's read Hosea chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says this, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? This is God speaking. This is a prophet speaking over the nation. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? Judah, what shall I do to you? So he's going after both sections. You know, you had Israel, the nation of Israel was in two. You had the ones that were from Judah, and then you had Israel. It said, Ephraim, what shall I do to you? Judah, what shall I do to you? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goes away. How many like clouds in the morning? This morning, how many like clouds that never rain? You know, we're all Arizonans, man. You know, I bet if you were from Seattle, they'd probably say, yeah, I'd like one of them, you know. But here in Arizona, I mean, if I see this big cloud, I say, yeah. How many do that? Anybody do that? Yeah, come on, it's going to rain. And then it just goes on by. You go, what good are you? A little bit of shade, maybe that's it, huh? You are a cloud without water. You know, the Bible talks about clouds without water that don't give any kind of blessing. Blessings in the cloud, is that right? That water that comes down is a blessing. And here he's talking a little bit about it. He says this, your goodness is as a morning cloud, as the early dew, it goes away. Therefore, I've hewed them by the prophets. Now, God's saying something here, and I know in the King James it says a little bit different, but I love the King James, so you're just going to have to put up with it, okay? Just kidding. I'm just kidding you. But it says, therefore I have hewed them by the prophets. God said, I've been chopping these folks down. I've been chopping these guys down by the prophets that I'm sending to speak against them. I've hewed them. I've been cutting them. Has God ever cut you by his word? Has his word ever come into your heart and cut you? Man, it has me. I said, man, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And I don't want to do that again. He says, I've hewed them by the prophets. And then it says, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, that thy judgments are as the light that goes forth. He said, because of the words that have gone forth against you, those are my judgments on you, and they will be seen, they will be revealed like everything, like a light to everyone around you. And then he says this, for I desired mercy. This is where Jesus was speaking. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. How many say amen? Can I tell you, man? When those guys were saying, hey man, how come your master eats with these guys? You know, I got a It's called the NLT. Does anybody have the New Living Translation? Does anybody have that? Yeah. Where they're asking him, is your master sitting and eating with the publicans and sinners? In the NLT, it says, why are they sitting with the scum? And this is where Jesus turns around and says, you need to go learn this. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Yeah, your sacrifices and everything are they're good. But I'm not looking for your sacrifices. I am looking for you to have mercy on these people. How many say amen to that? Ooh, come on, man. See these, how many of you like these palettes? They're kind of cool, huh? You like that? It's like, why did he shift into the palettes? Micaiah's sister, Christy, was looking for palettes. So she called, and there was a young lady that came to deliver these palettes. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Micaiah? She came to deliver these palettes, and the girl that was delivering the palettes, she goes, oh, this is a church, yeah. And she goes, oh, okay, what are you? Well, we're non-denominational, yeah. Holy Ghost. I mean, say amen. Non-denominational, Holy Ghost, Bible believing, Bible thumping. Yeah, come on. How many Bible thumpers in here? I love my Bible. Hug my Bible. Hallelujah. She goes, oh, what do they think about tattoos? Chris goes, I don't know. That young lady started weeping and told Christy, listen, she goes, I went to church, and she told her the church, but I'm not going to tell you the church. I went to church, and I was walking in, and she had a little bit of a tattoo on her arm here. And as she was walking in, a woman stopped her and told her, you are inappropriately dressed. She goes, what? She goes, you can't come in here. This is a church. She goes, you cannot come in here. You're inappropriately dressed. She goes, no, I'm not. What? What? She goes, that thing on your arm, you need to leave. Go out and cover it up, put on a sweater, and then you can come back in. She said that girl told her that she went into her car and wept and wept and wept. Can you imagine that? I can't. This is where Jesus said, hey, man, people are more important than your sacrifices. Is that right? They are more important. Oh, all the good stuff you do for them. People are more important than all the stuff you do. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. And I will tell you, folks, he desires that mercy to the lost. To the lost. Can I tell you Nancy Pelosi's lost? Can I tell you Joe Biden's lost? Can I tell you? That neighbor that screams and yells at you, man, and says, I'm threatening you, man. You keep your dog on your property or whatever. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. But, you know, whatever it is, God says, I'm looking for mercy because I'm a merciful God. He's filled you with his spirit. He's been speaking to you. He's been showing you things. Can I tell you there's more stuff going on within you than you even realize? Because the word of God is a seed, and it just doesn't sit. It gets watered and watered. Every time you hear the word of God, there's a watering going on in you. There's more in you than you even can imagine. So when you go out there to talk to one of these persons, all of a sudden these things are coming up out of you because they are, it's his word, it's who you are. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. Here's the Hebrew word for mercy. Shakad. Everybody say shakad. You know, you're supposed to, in the Hebrew, you're supposed to have a little bit of a gurgle. Shakad. Shakad. Here it is, right? It says, to be kind. Is that right? That's all it is. Mercy is to be kind. What's the difference between mercy and grace? They almost feel like they're exactly the same. Is that right? What is it? You know, if you get a chance, go and look to see the difference between mercy and grace. Grace is, I'm going to tell you, this is what grace is. Grace is the Holy Ghost. That's him. You remember when you were doing things you weren't supposed to be doing? Do you remember that? When you were the worst in the world, the offscouring of the world. How many remember that? Nah, you guys don't have to raise your hands. I remember that. I heard certain things coming to me. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. See, the Bible says you're saved by grace. Grace is the Holy Ghost. That's who he is. He's the one that speaks to you. He's the one that convicts your heart, right? Mercy is a whole different thing. Mercy is unmerited kindness. It's unmerited favor. It is a favor that's placed on you by God. He favors you. He loves you. He created you. He stretched out your DNA and bam. That's what he did. He knows you. So mercy, all it means in the Hebrew, the shakran is to be kind. Just be kind. How do you like that? Everybody right now, think of somebody that you weren't kind to just in the last week. Does anybody remember anybody that you weren't kind to? Come on, golly, you guys are, man, we're saints. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody pull out in front of you, hunk on them? Anybody push a shopping cart and get before you? Yeah. Praise God. Well, I guess I'm the only one. Praise God. It says to be kind. It says also rarely is to reprove. You know, the word of God to reprove, you know, God gave me when he showed me the vision about what he wanted to do with my life, he spoke a word to me. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, not a season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reproving, rebuking, and exhorting, all that is those are correctional words. When Jesus rebuked the sea, you remember that? When he rebuked the air, they're just correctional words. Be still. You're not created for this. That wind and that sea was not created to scare the bejeebers out of those guys. Is that right? That wasn't created for that. All those are just correctional words. Just put back in order. Put it back to where. That's what Jesus did that night. He put it back in order. You're not created for this. Be still. Boom. Correctional words. Mercy, that shakad, to be kind, also very rarely is to reprove, to put back in order. Oh. And I love this part about it, because when Jesus was not only placing that protection around that woman, and then he was placing that protection on those people that went in there to eat with him. They told the Pharisees, hey, go and find out what this means. Go find out what it means to have mercy and not sacrifice, to be kind. He was also being very merciful to them. How many say amen to that? Jesus didn't have to respond to those guys at all. He could have just zipped up and said, you're going to hell. I don't care. But he was reproving them. He was speaking them to teach them something, to show them something. Go look at this word so that you can understand what I'm telling you right here. God's looking for mercy and not sacrifice. Hallelujah. Folks, can I tell you something? We can't be speaking things against one another. How many say amen to that? The body of Christ. I mean, I don't care what church is in town and people don't come to this church. And you know what? You know what you do for those folks? You pray for them. They can go where, I mean, God will send his people wherever he sends them. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Are you okay that God has a purpose and plan and he'll do what he wants to do with people? Are you okay with that? Well, I am. I am. I'm okay. And it's not my place to say anything bad about him. I can't. God says, no, 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 no. Have mercy. Yeah, well, I'm the pastor. Yeah, that's why I'm telling you, have mercy. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I want to read this to you. Listen to this. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. This is one of those places. I remember I was with a youth leader one night at First Assembly, and we decided we were going to type out 1 Corinthians 13. How many know that what that is? What do they call it? The love chapter. Amen. So I'm reading it to him. He's typing it out. And as he's typing, he's going, oh, type a little bit. Oh, I got to go pray, man. I mean, it was actually convicting him. Amen? Isn't that what? That's what the Word of God is for, is to show us things. I want to know. So if you sense the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about something going on in your life in this reading, I mean, just take it that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, okay? So here it is. It says, Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 27, says, but I say to you, which hear, love your, what? Enemies. Do good to them that, what? Ooh, come on. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them, which what? Oh, yeah. And to him that smites you on the one cheek, offer also what? And him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee. You hear that? Give to everyone that asks of you. Because these are merciful things. Give to every man that asks of you. And of him that takes away your goods, don't ask for them back. Ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, what? Do ye to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? I'm glad he put that in there. Amen? Because, man, we can love and give and everything to our own family or to our own, the people in our own church. And we're, oh, I'm giving, God. I'm giving. Yeah, well, what about your enemy? Oh, boy. Okay, God. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies. Twice in this, isn't it? Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Amen. How many, that's a goal. You can be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Do you see that? He is kind to the unthankful and then even what? The evil. He is kind. Is that true? Just think about yourself. I mean, I didn't know most of you, so I mean I'm not looking at you. Well, just think about you. Think about who you are. He was kind to you, wasn't he, he was kind to you and he saved you. And he will do that for anybody. It says, therefore, I like this, is be ye merciful, full of mercy, be ye merciful as your Father also is what? Merciful. That you might be filled with all the fullness of Christ. Go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For mercy when you've got mercy, you, my friend, are acting like the Father. You're acting like God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and 4 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He's called you into this, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? the divine nature, that you might be like Christ, that Christ might, the fullness of Christ might be dwelling richly within you. Amen. Hallelujah. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us, let's pray. Hallelujah. Sometimes these words, sometimes the word of God will have an effect on your heart. Can we stand? Sometimes the word of God will have this an effect on your heart, and it should have an effect on your heart. But even in preparing this sermon, I could see that God was really talking to me. Because I did have a problem with those two people I was talking to you about earlier, Joe Biden, and I did have a problem in that area. I'd see that lady on my TV, and I'd even say, "Get off my TV! What are you doing on my TV? Get up! Run over there and shut it off, man." And God has been working on me. Pray for me, because that's just what I do, man. I feel like I best be quiet right there, right now. Come on, man. The word of God says, "Be merciful. Be merciful." I can think of no other way to be merciful that's better than for somebody like them, because I don't know them personally, but just to pray for them. And I don't know about any of you in here, and maybe you've got conflicts going on, and there might be a conflict with somebody at work, might be conflict with somebody that messed you up over at Big O. A lot of you don't know about that, huh? I'll tell you about that later. But whatever those things are, God sees them and he says, "Look, I am trying to place something more glorious within you than you really even understand." How many want that? Say, "God, I want to be first in line for that stuff." How many say amen? So I just want to pray for you this morning. And just consider what's been spoken to you this morning. And as you walk this week, those ones that have been troubling you in certain areas or whatever, say, "God, I'm going to pray for them. I am going to be merciful. Because, God, you're merciful. You're merciful to me. So why can't I be merciful to them? Why?" So, Father, I thank you. We thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father. Lord, to be like you. That's what we want, Father. That we might walk according as you would have us to walk, Father. So, Father, I pray for each and every person, everyone here this morning, Lord, that you would, Father, fill them with all of your fullness, God. Your fullness, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. Let us touch the world, Father, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hug somebody. Thank you for coming this morning. Let's sing this song.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.